Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for what you've already done here this morning. Holy Spirit, we say, be welcome. Remain with us. Jesus, we need you. Stay here with us this morning. I pray, Lord God, that every mind will be open, every heart will be receptive, every demon will flee, that I will be able to deliver this word. It's your word for your people, to help your people. And I pray, Lord God, for the grace to deliver it with grace and with your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, Conrad actually did a bit of my introduction for me, because he said, if we're going to take the city, there's certain things we've got to do. He referred to taking the city. We cannot take the city if we are bound. We cannot take the city if we're bound. We've got to be active and free and on fire. Can I hear an amen? Jylle moet my bietjie help vanoggend. Thanks for leaving this strepsels. Yeah, I don't know who's that. Oh, I might borrow one. I'm just joking. We've got to be on fire. That is our motto for this year. And this year is nearing an end. We're into the last trimester, the last 4 months, shortly. September, October, November, December. We've got 4 months. We've got a lot to do if we're going to take the city. And we've done a lot this year. Church, I want to encourage you. This church is moving forward. We have seen growth in the church. If you look around, you might say, oh, but the church. No, we've seen growth. People have come. People have grown. People are having their lives touched and changed. We've had an impact on this community. We've gone through the city. We marched on Good Friday through the city. Let me tell you, we claimed the city. God saw that. He acted. We had a holiday Bible club where we had more children really than what we could cope with. And we've established a new ministry through it on a Friday afternoon. We've had, last Saturday, people went out on the street with our Bible school. People gave their hearts to Jesus. We've done it earlier in the year. The city is changing. And we, as God's people, are making a difference. We are God's army. We've been called to attention. We've been called up. In the old days when we were troopies, you do your 2 years and then you get a call up. It was a horrible letter. And you're going to have to serve. We've been called up into God's army. You cannot sit still anymore, church. Because when you sit still, you're AWOL. Absent without leave, without permission. But you see, the enemy knows what we're up to. He knows that God's got a purpose and a plan for this church and for you and for me. And so what does he want to do? What do you do when you capture the people that are of the other army? You take them as prisoners of war. You put them in a concentration camp. You lock them up. You bind them. You make them ineffective. We can't take the city when we are bound and ineffective. So the enemy wants to put us in a spiritual concentration camp. And I want to tell you that this morning there are some of us sitting here that are in a spiritual concentration camp. You say, how can you say that, Pastor? Because I'm a human being like you. And I know what human beings go through. And I know the wiles of the enemy. I work with people. Some of them are you. Some of them are people that come to the gate. Some of them are people that I meet elsewhere. And I know what people go through. God has given me the privilege of helping people. People face stuff. They battle with stuff. One of our church's core values is that free people will free people. Free people. Free people. Who's free this morning? Can I see hands of people that are free? But is it possible? The message this morning is who or what's in control. I didn't want to say who's in control. I want to say what's in control. Is Jesus in control? Is the love of Christ in control in our lives? Or has something else subtly come in and the enemy's taken us and he's subtly bound our hands and he's put us in a concentration camp and we don't even realize it? Maybe we do and we just don't know how to escape. Then this message is for you this morning. Already the Lord has said it's a new day. He's moving those lines. Those things are holding you back. He's moved them out the way. This is another step in that. Ek gaan my vinnig moet praat. I want to speak about addiction this morning. What's in control? An addiction is something that's in control of your life. you lose control and that thing takes control. And when addiction comes in your life, you're in a spiritual concentration camp, Christian. You're tired, your hands are tired. Your armor is off, it's been packed away. You're ineffective. And you feel hopeless and helpless. You don't know what to do. You lose your power. God wants you to be an army, a soldier in His army that's free and ready, ready for battle, fully armed. So I want to point out some area. You say, well, I'm not addicted. It's not my problem. It's okay, you can go home. Or you can listen, and the Lord might just show you something this morning. Addiction is a condition of being bound or addicted to a substance or an activity where a person will feel compelled to repeatedly pursue that substance or that activity regardless of its detrimental effects upon your life. So for the alcoholic, they have to get that next drink even though they know that that thing will eventually kill them. It'll destroy their family. It'll ruin everything for them. The smoker is addicted to a cigarette even though on the box it says, smoking causes cancer. But there are other addictions too. Other words for addiction are this. We don't see the word addiction in the Bible. Dependency, dependence, craving, habit, weakness, compulsion, fixation, and here's the one that's in the Bible, enslavement. I would add imprisonment. Abuse of substances, we know it. Alcohol, tobacco, ganja, or dacha, or whatever, cocaine, drugs, illicit drugs, medications, pain tablets, antidepressants, cough mixture, substances. Behavior that is addictive is not quite as well defined. And so I'll probably focus more on that this morning. But let me read it so I don't. There's lots of addictive behaviors. One of them is, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, the need to be a part of something, belongingness. And then some people will behave in a certain way, even though they know it's detrimental, so that they can belong to something, okay? But addictive behaviors, and I'm going to be, maybe I should have said this is a PG message this morning. PG 95, okay? But we'll just trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us. Gambling is an addictive behavior. Sex. People can become sex addicts. They can't get enough of it. Well, let me just make it a little bit more subtle. Young people, men and women, sexting. Sex chat rooms. Notice that bias the link. Pornography, part of sex. Obsessive eating can be an addictive behavior. The Bible warns of sins that ensnare and entangle us. Sins that take us captive, from which we may struggle to escape. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says it. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily makes us addicts, ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Addiction is a form of idolatry. What is idolatry? When something in my life becomes more important than my relationship with Jesus Christ. Whoa! When I start making decisions and choices and putting money into places and putting time into things that are not God. And I can't help myself because I like this thing. Or I might not even like it. I might want to break free of it, but it's got me. You're in a spiritual concentration camp. What does the word say? That wasn't me. Philippians 3:19. Whose end is destruction. These are people. Whose God is their belly. And whose glory is their shame. who set their minds on earthly things. Christian, I want to ask you, are there things in your life that are more important than God? In your relationship with Jesus Christ? And I can tell you as your pastor, I know that sometimes they are. I'm not saying you're addicted to them. But sometimes people will say, I wasn't in church because. What is it that's more important than God in your life? And are you possibly addicted to it? Could you turn your back on it tomorrow? When I talk of idolatry, those things. Addiction is linked to the biblical word called the flesh. Addiction takes hold of our flesh. Romans 13:13-14. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust. Can you see how these things tie up into sexting and sexual immorality and this and then the next thing? Alcohol. Not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. I want to tell you, church, that's one of the answers. We need to dress ourselves daily, not just in the armor of God, but we must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must wear Him. If you've got Jesus and you're wearing Jesus, it's so much harder to get involved in that behavior that becomes addictive. I want you to stay awake, church, because people are going to get delivered here this morning. I'm telling you. There are people in this church that are going to be free after this morning. I know it. We've been praying about it in the week. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul. When you get tied down by a thing that's got control of you, it's an attack against your very soul, against your very eternity. And if you cannot break out of addiction, Christian, you may well go to hell. Now I'm starting to hear some amens. Church, this is about life and death. But it's not just about this life. It's about that life and that death. Spending eternity away from God. We need to break those things. And I'm telling you now, and I encourage you right now, there will be an altar call when I'm done. And I want to challenge you, because the devil's going to say, no, you can't let them know. Or you're going to say, I'm too embarrassed. Nobody's going to know why you come forward. All people are going to know is that you need help. And you've been bold enough to come forward and be prayed for. And God will do the rest. It's nobody else's business. But don't sit there. Don't walk out of this church. If the Lord speaks to you and says, that's you, come forward this morning. Don't walk out. Because then you're at risk of losing your very soul. There are three big S's I've chosen out of addiction. I'm not going to deal with them all. I'm not going to try and become AA for you. I'm not even going to try and become, Narcotics Anonymous. I want to deal with three S's. And these are S's in my research. And in my experience that I've found that are pummeling and attacking the Christian church today. Three S's. Sex-related addictions. Sexting and pornography. They're categorized in the Bible under sexual immorality or fornication. You know the word fornication comes from the word porneo in the Greek. And you know what else porneo is linked to? Porn. Okay? I'll read you some statistics now. The second S is social media. You need to sit up and take note, church. Social media. I wish I had my cell phone in my pocket. Social media. Addiction. That would include sexting, chat rooms, illicit relationships with people on Facebook or wherever else, cell phone calls, speaking to that person you know you shouldn't be speaking to. And the third one is substances. That's drugs, medications, and alcohol. The worst damage, in my mind, is the ones that are the hidden ones. Now you can smell alcohol. You can see somebody's going to tell you when somebody in their family is bound with balls. You can see it in people's eyes. But you can't see when somebody's hooked on pornography. You can't see when somebody's been speaking to a woman or looking at something they shouldn't look at. You can't see it. It's hidden. And then people say, yeah, the church battles with it the most. You know why the church battles with it the most? They battle just like anybody else. But people in the church have the conviction of the Holy Spirit and it comes out. And God wants to free you. God wants us to be free. There's a shift that's taken place since the internet came. And technology has opened access and opened doors to things that were previously only available in books and maybe in media, like videos. And our country had better moral standards. I'm sorry, but we had better moral standards. And so the stuff wasn't allowed in the country. So we were protected by the state. I wish the state would protect us again. But it's become freely available. There's nobody who can't access the stuff. So how on earth do you control this thing? How do you manage it? Only by faith. Only by God's grace. But you need to have some self-discipline too, church. Here's some statistics. From the early 2000s, that's almost 20 years ago now, right? On pornography. I've picked this up on the internet. 47% of Christian families said pornography is a problem in the home. 47%. What percentage is that today, now that pornography has become so much more? This was done in 2003, focus on the family poll. The internet was a significant factor in 2 out of 3 divorces. The American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, not even Christian, okay, in 2003. 9 out of 10 children in 2002, between the ages of 8 and 16 have viewed pornography on the internet. In most cases, unintentionally. That came from the London School of Economics in January 2002. The average age of first internet exposure to pornography was 11 years old. The largest consumer of internet pornography in 2007 was 12 to 17 year olds. Youth with significant exposure to sexuality in the media were shown to be significantly more likely to have had intercourse at ages 14 to 16. That's in 2006. Today it's 2018. 12 years later, I'm sure it's worse. 89% of youth admit to receiving sexual solicitation in chat rooms. That means, I hate to say it, church, but almost 9 out of 10 people sitting here that are young people. And that's an old statistic. Maybe it's 10 out of 10 today. This is how big this problem is. So why shouldn't I speak about it from the pulpit? Amen? That which is in the darkness must be brought into the light. Now the problem with it, those are just statistics. The problem with, and I know, with pornography, is it becomes an addiction. You can't say, tomorrow I won't stop looking at pornography. You need to be delivered from that thing. Just like you need to be delivered from the effect of alcohol or narcotics. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Men hooked on chat rooms. Children, boys, young girls. And the other statistic is that more and more women are looking at pornography than what it used to be. So it used to be a male problem. It's not a male problem anymore. And church, I know that you know because some of you have done it. And you can sit here earlier than thou and say, I've got no problems. But let me tell you, your breakthrough comes when you start acknowledging that you've got a problem and you need help. If the church keeps on denying the problems that the church has, the church is lost. We're in a concentration camp. The key has been locked, thrown away, and the devil's rubbing his hands and smiling all the way. We're going to take the city, church. We need to be free. Let me talk about social media briefly. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, WhatsApp, whatever else. Just surfing the net. I don't have a statistic here, okay? But I'm going to ask you a question, which I don't want you to answer. But let it sink in. How many of you feel like something is missing if you don't have your phone on you? But yet, 25 years ago, whenever it was, we didn't even have cell phones. We didn't need them. But today, if you don't have your cell phone on you, you miss it. You worry about it. You're concerned about it. Where is it? Who's messaged me? Who's contacted me? I'm sure none of you can identify with what I'm saying here. None of you have experienced that. Don't ask me. How many people, yeah, right here. In fact, if it wasn't rude, you'd pick up your cell phone and you'd be checking your WhatsApp messages, right, yeah? And who's put something on Facebook because you might have missed out? It's called FOMO, fear of missing out. Okay? If you had a chance, you'd, in fact, some of you sat in church before the service started and did it. And I wasn't checking, but I know. I must tell you, I also do it. Okay? In case you think I'm standing here with a pointing finger. How many people spend more time interacting with their mobile phone and what they do in their quiet time in a day? Then I ask you the question, what's in control? Is God in control? I don't think so. Sure. I heard somebody, we watched something of Jensen Franklin's this morning. He said, it's very quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. I can echo that. I can say, ditto. Church, because you know what I'm telling you is the truth. There's far more people with addictions than what would admit it. How many, this is a bit of a sensitive one. Please don't think I'm picking on you, okay? I just thought it. I wrote it down because it came to mind. How many people would rather, and I also use it sometimes, would rather use their mobile phone to look up a Bible verse than their printed Bible? Now, sometimes it's a convenience. But let me ask you this. Let me change that question. How many of you would rather use your mobile phone in your quiet time than your printed Bible? That is a big fat red light. Because it tells me you can't even go into your quiet time without your cell phone. Okay? How many people, that's a good question, would more easily spend money on airtime and data than what they would be willing to place in the offering plate at church? Okay, let me unspiritualize it. How many people are willing to spend more money on airtime and data than what they would be willing to give a friend that's in trouble or maybe buy that food that they really need with? Because if you're making those kind of decisions, I promise you, you've got an addiction and you need deliverance. And I trust that the questions have pricked the consciences of those sitting here this morning. We need to be honest and challenge ourselves. Are we addicted to social media? Are we addicted to our cell phones? Are we addicted to internet porn? Have we been messing around on chat sites? Have we been doing other stuff that is destructive and addictive? And you know what? You said the last time you wouldn't do it again, and then the other day you went back and you did it again. That's an addiction. What impact does an addiction have on a Christian? Addiction has a huge impact on a Christian. Okay? It can be absolutely devastating. Why? Because you try and break free of this thing and you can't get free of it. You say, I'll never do that again. And tomorrow you're doing it again. And you say, where's my faith? What kind of fake Christian am I? And the enemy comes and he slaps you with guilt and shame. And you say, what hope is for me? I'm like a dog that keeps going back to my vomit. That's a scripture. Are you with me? Are you identifying with me, church? Am I preaching to the wrong congregation this morning? Maybe I should have gone and preached it at the square there in Krugersdorp to all the sinners there. Jesus came for sinners. He didn't come for a doctor. He said a doctor is needed by those that are ill, not by those who are well. So if I'm sitting here this morning and say, why is he preaching it? Because we need to hear it. It's terrible. What does an addiction do to a Christian? It causes them to lie and become deceivers. Why? Because you lie to hide the fact that you've got an addiction and you make all sorts of tricks and excuses to fool people to think that you're right. And when you're busy with your addiction, you'd say that you're somewhere else. I'm just going to the shop quickly, and you drive around the corner, out comes a cell phone. I don't know. I'm just saying it as it's coming this morning. Okay. Or all of a sudden you're texting that girl you shouldn't be texting. And let me tell you, young girls, be careful. Because the guys you think you're speaking to in the chat rooms are old toppies with dirty minds. And let me tell you, young guys, same thing applies. And that thing is addictive. And you can put people in jail. Because they're messing with somebody that's underage. and they can't get out of it because they think they're chaffing a cherry. And ladies, it's about time that you started building your husbands up and praying for them and saying, I know you're at risk. So instead of running him down because he didn't do what you wanted to do, find something to encourage him about. Because otherwise he's going to the internet and you're going to go and find somebody who'll say all the nice things he wants to hear because that is his flesh. Anal, pastor. That was also not in my notes. Christian addicts will live a double life. Jesus had a lot to say about the hypocrites, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, couldn't see and wouldn't see. They wouldn't admit their sin. They pretended to be holier than thou, but underneath it was rotten. And if they'd only come out and said, Lord, I need your help. Save me. If you're willing, you can heal me. He would have said, you're free, my child. Go and sin no more. Amen? Come on, I at least need to hear some amens. And then the shame and the guilt of the enemy. Shame and guilt. And you get tied down in sin and you start doing stuff you shouldn't do and you go and you ask the Lord to forgive you and a week later you're still punishing yourself for that sin you did a week ago. You say, well, I'm still feeling that way. I might as well just go and do it again. Amen? And then there's the stigma of addiction. That's what keeps people from coming clean about it. You know, gay people have to come out. I don't know if I should have even said that from this pulpit. Addicts need to acknowledge their sin. The reason why they don't is because of what people say. And this church is not going to be a church like that. We know it, and I've been speaking about it, and we know it. We will accept you no matter where you come from. We hate the sin, we love the sinner. We hate poverty, we love the poor person. Amen. We're not going to judge people for what they wear or what they look like or whether they've got no money or whether they're workless or whether they're rich. That's not who this church is going to be. We are free from that church. And that is why everybody from all walks of life will be welcome in this house. And that is why we can take the city. Because there aren't just rich people out there. It's people that are struggling with addiction. There's people that are struggling. There's murderers out there that need Jesus. There's rich people that are stinking rich. But they're going to hell because they don't have Jesus. We've got to be the church that says, come. Jesus had rich friends, but he had poor friends. Prostitutes, taxpayers. We can be like that church. If we allow the stigma of anything to rise its ugly head in this church, how will we reach the city? How? It's important to remember that each and every one of us can fall. We're human beings, we've got a flesh, and we're subject to temptation that can lead to addiction. So you might say, but I'm free, I don't need to hear this message. What about tomorrow? 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Lest he fall. For a Christian to get the necessary help, they need to be encouraged and told there's help. What you need to do is come clean. Come, there's somebody that will help you. We won't judge you. We'll pray with you. We'll take your hand and we'll walk with you. And we'll love you just the way Jesus loved the woman caught in adultery. 2 Timothy 2 verse 24 to 26 says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God will perhaps grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare, the addiction of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And then I want to just share some steps to freedom. And I've still got a few minutes. Ek moet wikkel. First step to freedom, and this isn't the key, it's not the same for everybody, but what I have researched, what I've seen, when we've helped people, even things I've battled with in my own life, what are the key to break loose of a sin that it ensnares you, something that you battle with, and you go back to it over and over? What can we do? The first thing you've got to do is admit it. You've got to take responsibility. Don't say, yeah, but my mother told me I'm useless and I'm rubbish, and now I'm useless and I'm rubbish. My father was an alcoholic, so I couldn't help it. I'm an alcoholic. Rubbish, man. Take responsibility. I messed up. I got hooked on this thing, and I need help. Klar. Does that make sense? Come on, we've got to be clinical. Hey? Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news, the good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Jesus wants to make you free today. And He's anointed us too. That scripture was about Him, but we are the anointed ones here. We are His hands and feet, church. So whether you are somebody who needs to be free or whether you're the person who's going to help somebody to get free, you have got a part to play today. Freedom is available. Addiction doesn't make you any less of a Christian. Addiction makes you a human being that's susceptible to the flesh. By accepting the fact that you are powerless to break free, you start saying, I've got to trust something else. Even in AA, where they say you must have a higher power to help you, they're saying you can't do it yourself. I'm saying Jesus is your help, church. And we will help you. And I will help you. There is help. John 8, verse 32, you know it well. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm free no longer to be bound. I can be free. I can be delivered from this thing. And again, I bind that spirit of addiction in what whoever's life is here today. I bind it and I command it to go now. Because when we pray for you this morning, you will be free. We've been praying it all through the week since I felt the Lord giving me this message. I want to tell you where your help comes from. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. He is the one who will give us sufficient grace to break free. And He'll make us free. Have you maybe got yourself into something you can't get out of on your own? You need help this morning? When I make the altar call, I'm not trying to bully you into coming forward. But I would recommend that you did. Don't be held in it. Secondly, we've got to get help. Well, it starts today. Get help. Come forward. Admit that you've got a problem. And I'm not saying, if you come and stand here, I'm not saying that you're a sex addict. You might say, well, I eat too much. Or I'm just battling with a specific sin that I'm just struggling with. So don't go and judge the people that come and stand here this morning. Don't say, oh yeah, they're all watching porn or... No, they've come forward to be helped. They're all God's people that need help. So I want to encourage you. If you feel this is for you this morning, come forward. You can't overcome on your own. Don't think that it's necessarily going to stop. God can make you free today that you never go back to that thing. But sometimes it's a path. Sometimes it's a road you've got to walk. And you can't do it unless you've got somebody holding your hand and saying, I'm praying for you. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I've seen it in almost any research you do. How do you break free of pornography? You find an accountability partner. The same thing with alcoholism or drug addiction or anything else. You find somebody that you can trust and you tell them and you give them permission any time that they like to check up on you. And say, how are you doing? And you say, I promise to be blatantly honest. If I've messed up, I will tell you. And because that on its own is a deterrent. Because you know, you promise to be honest, and then you mess up, you don't want to have to go and tell that person again. It'll help you. But when you get it wrong and you tell them, they can encourage you, and they can pray for you. Because the problem is people give up, and they give themselves over to this thing. And they say, it's not worth trying. Be careful who you choose as an accountability partner. Don't choose somebody who's going to make your name and trash your reputation or go and mess up your marriage for you. But stop hiding it. That which is kept in the dark is power. But that which is exposed, God can work with it. Know that the third point is, it takes time. Deal with it one day at a time. If I fall down today, Then tomorrow morning I wake up and say, today is my first day. Today is day one, Lord Jesus. Are you with me? Don't give up. Don't give up. Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow is enough worries of its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now that seems like a cop-out, doesn't it? But let me tell you, if you get knocked down today and you don't get up, where are you tomorrow? You're still in the gutter. Get out the gutter. Get out the gutter. Fourth thing is you need to protect yourself. Proverbs 4:23, it was prayed in the prayer room this morning. Guard your heart above all else, for from it flow the issues of life. You need to guard your heart, church. Matthew 5:29, Jesus. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Church, I don't want you all to come here blind next week, okay? But what I do think you need to do is you need to say, and I'm just going to use the pornography as an example because there's some very good examples on the internet. You need to download something that will protect you. There's apps you can put on your phone that will stop that stuff coming through. There's an app you can download on your phone that every time you try and access that site, it's going to send a message to your accountability partner. That will stop you. Okay? There's other things. There's one website where when you... it's too technical, but you can access through that. Where instead of going through Google, there's a search engine. And it won't let you search those other terms. It'll stop it. Your antivirus program. There's programming you can put on your computer that will help you. I'm telling you. Put on a password. There's a restriction. I looked on my Apple phone. There's things under general. It's called restrictions. You can go in there and you can say, adult content, other content, da-da-da. You can choose what you want to come through. And then you put in a password. But instead of you putting the password, get somebody else to put that password in. Because then you can't unlock it. Because with the flesh is strong. And the next time you want to go and fall, you go, oh, I'll quickly unlock it just for this once. And then you're back at your vomit. Are you with me, church? It's the same thing with other addictions. Get somebody to help you. Find ways of protecting yourself. The alcoholic cannot walk into a bar. Are you with me? They can't even take medicine with alcohol in it because it can set them off again. Nor can the drug addict think that, okay, I was hooked on painkillers. Now I can all of a sudden start taking painkillers again. The person that has been in a chat room, don't think, oh, I'll just go and chat a bit, I'm bored. Forget it. Protect yourself. Don't have anything to do with those sites anymore, church. Because you'll fall. Let the person who thinks he's strong be careful lest he falls. Scriptural. Give your spouse, men and women, unlimited access to... No, it's my phone. It's my privacy. What have they got to do with it? Rubbish. You want flesh. You want flesh. It's their phone. If it's your phone, it's their phone. If it's your bank account, it's their bank account. Sorry. It's the truth. So stop this rubbish. No, you can't look at my phone. They must be able to pick up your phone anytime they want. They must be able to come and look over your shoulder if you're on the internet. If you don't have a marriage partner, take your brother or your sister or your friend. They'll protect you, church. You understand what I'm saying? And let me tell you now, I'm not saying it in every case, but that's a warning for you married men and women. If you are hiding your cell phone from your spouse, no vietala. Are you with me? You won't. It's time we started speaking out against sin. This is the church. God called us to be holy. My conclusion. Oh, I wanted to give you one or two more. Do a Facebook fast. Do an Instagram fast. Can you do without it for a week? Do it. I challenge you. Start today. Start now. And then ask the Holy Spirit to be your helper. My conclusion is this. And I don't think I've gone anywhere near it, okay? I've had a few minutes to speak about this. To overcome addiction, we need the right heart and we need the right mind. We know the scripture, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. The kind He will find acceptable. This truly is the way to worship Him. Don't copy the customs and behavior of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Sin starts here, church. And when we think about it long enough, it filters down here. And the next thing we prayed about in the back there, a crust builds around your heart. And you become hard to sin. You become nonchalant. It's just sin. And then you become to have a heart of stone. And this morning, this message is about getting a heart of flesh. Taking that heart of stone out. Dealing with, get rid of that stuff. And let the Lord put a whole new soft heart that He can work with in your life. Who can identify with that? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is the good and pleasing and perfect. And most importantly, church, this has been a hard message. Jalas baie stil gewees. I haven't heard many amens. And I didn't expect many amens. Just remember that Jesus loves you. If you're battling with sin, if you're battling with addiction, if you're battling with something that's bound you, you've got a King in heaven who went to the cross to pay the price for your failure. He paid the price for your addiction. He can break the power of whatever's in control, and He can come and be in control. And He'll do it with love, because He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves you. He doesn't want you to be bound. He's not about to whip you. Think of the woman caught in adultery. Think of the woman at the well. Sinners! What did He say? One, He said, I'll give you water. When you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. The other one, He said, we are your accusers. I don't accuse you. Go and sin no more. That's Jesus. That's your Lord and Savior. That's why you can boldly come here this morning and say, I need help. And out of love, we will minister to you like our Lord and Savior. And we know that He will come and He will make you free. 1 John 1:9-10. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you want to be free today, church?